What's up, everybody? I am Adrian Skippers.
And I'm Jochie Mens.
And welcome to
Music Matters. Yes, guys. New month, new episodes. Tonight, we're going to chat a little bit about one of my favorite artists. He passed away in 2017 in October. That's why we decided to do a tribute show to Tom Petty. He was born Thomas Earl Petty.
As you guys should know by now, I feed a lot from Jochie's info and Jochie's insight into music. So this is going to be purely one of those occasions where I feed a lot of off of Jochie.
But I'm sure Adrian will actually think you will recognize some of the tracks when I play it. He made a few very legendary, recognizable tracks in his career. He had a pretty long career as well. He started out in about 1975.
Sure.
So, and obviously passed away in 2017. Mm. Let's start out. So Tom Petty, when he was very young, about 10 years old, he met Elvis Presley. Mm. And he was sort of infatuated with Elvis since he heard his music. Mm. And then he met him. And from the day he met him, he wanted to be a musician.
Oh, nice.
So he picked up a guitar straight after that, and he started playing and taught himself to play guitar as well. Mm. And he was really a big fan of the Beatles.
Yeah.
That was huge in that time in the 60s, and obviously the Rolling Stones as well. So he really wanted to be in a band.
Yeah.
He didn't want a solo career. He wanted to be in a band.
Yes.
When he was 17, he dropped out of school to actually pursue a music career.
Mm.
And he joined a band at that time that didn't have a great following. Mm. The band was called Mudcrutch. He joined them.
I can imagine why they didn't.
Yeah. He joined them, and actually out of that meeting with those guys, they started recording music and so on.
Yeah.
So he had a little bit of local success with Mudcrutch and with their first single, Depot Street. And it released in 1975, but it failed to chart on the Billboard, or any chart for that matter. So they actually didn't have a long-lasting career. They were basically active for about a year or two, and then they broke up.
Mm.
I think not a lot of people actually know that Petty had a band before he went with the Heartbreakers.
Mm.
So I actually just want to play a short snippet of that song before we continue going into where he formed the Heartbreakers and where he started becoming more famous.
Awesome. Let's hear it.
I live on the west side by the county reservoir.
Cool song.
Yeah, it's a very cool song. You could actually hear, if you later on when I play some of Tom Petty's later songs, you could actually hear a lot of the Mudcrutch sound that they started out with. You could hear it throughout his whole career.
Yeah.
And he had a very almost broken voice.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ever recognized as one of the best vocalists or singers.
Mm.
But he was a great frontman.
Unique voice.
Yes, and he had a unique voice. You could hear when he starts singing, you could hear it's Tom Petty.
Mm.
But as I said, Mudcrutch didn't really last very long.
Mm.
But out of Mudcrutch, two of the members that was part of Mudcrutch helped him form the Heartbreakers.
Oh, okay, cool.
So Mike Campbell and Ben Montage was part of Mudcrutch. And they went over with him to start the Heartbreakers then with Ron Blair and Stan Lynch. Again, Petty didn't want to really have a solo career, even though they were known as Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I think that was more label wise, they wanted to sort of push him to be the front man and to for his name to sort of be synonymous, not just the Heartbreakers, but to be Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't actually looking to have a solo career.
Wasn't that also kind of the theme in those times, to have a front man's name, you know, linked to the band?
They was still, I mean, from the 50s,
it
was always like Buddy Holly and the Crickets,
was
always a front man, and I think they sort of wanted to push him in that direction, where he was sort of the main member, and then the rest of the guys was, you know, the backing band. But I don't think he really wanted that. He actually wanted to be the Heartbreakers, as the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, and so on. So he really wanted to have that, to a band name to be synonymous, not his, you know?
It's just so striking the influence a musician or famous person can have on someone's dreams.
Definitely.
It's just incredible. Elvis basically influenced this person, Tom Petty, but probably thousands of other people to follow that dream.
Everybody. Yeah. I think every musician has taken influence from either Elvis directly or from an artist that was influenced by Elvis.
Exactly. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, so by 1976, Mutt Crutch was no more. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers released their self-titled debut album. And they released their first single, Breakdown, and it peaked at number 40.
So
from their first single, they had some impact. A big reason for their popularity actually was they went to Great Britain as an American band, and they opened for Nils Lofgren. He was part of the E Street Band that was Bruce Springsteen's backing band, and he started to have his own career as well, solo career. And they opened up for him in Britain, and they actually started having a big following in Britain, the same as with Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
You know, it was actually, they were actually in the beginning of their career bigger in Britain than they were
in the US. Nice.
So and they are typically those American hard rock, you know. It's a hearty style of rock, and it really had an American sound. So it's crazy that the British people really like the music that much, you know.
So what does that tell you? If you have a band, go to Britain.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the way to go. Yeah, so Breakdown was their first single, and then they released their second album, You're Gonna Get It, and that was Tom Petty's first top 40 album. So one actually on the second album they went top 40.
Yeah.
I just want to play two songs quickly from the debut. The song is Breakdown, and I Need to Know from their second album, You're Gonna Get It.
Super.
It's alright if you love me. It's alright if you don't. I'm not afraid of you running away, honey. I get the feeling you own. There is no sense in pretending. Your eyes give you away. Something inside you is feeling like I do. Is it all there is to say?
you could actually hear that in the first song a lot of blues influence, and the second song was like rock and roll all the way. Very cool.
Massive difference. Mm. That's from two different albums.
Yeah, it's basically from the debut and then the second album. Yeah,
it's awesome. Well, both songs are pretty cool, but it's incredible to me that stood out was the range of his voice. The first song, very like mellow, like you said, blues influence, very clean. Mm. And then the second is like a little bit more.
And that's another thing to me, where I think average artist or singer rates against a great frontman or person that understands music, because he knew what the song asked for and he did what the song asked.
Definitely.
And that I think sets him a little bit apart from a lot of the other artists out there. So after that, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers released a few platinum selling albums. Sure. You know, and it peaked top 10 each time, but never number one.
Yeah.
So it went top 10 and everybody knew the tracks, and some of his albums, Damn the Torpedoes, Hard Promises, Long After Dark and Southern Accents and Let Me Up.
Mm.
All those albums sold platinum. Sure. That was over the next, you know, about 10 years that he released those albums. And, you know, Damn the Torpedoes, Hard Promises, Long After Dark, all three of those albums are rated as some of the best albums in the world. Sure. Not just for him, but actually
overall,
there's a few of his albums that's on the Rolling Stone top 500 albums of all time as well. So he was really influential, and people regarded him very highly as a musician and as a frontman. And obviously you don't want to take away from the Heartbreakers. And that's what I think Tom Petty, where he wanted to be a rather a band than him and the band.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody's talking about Petty.
Yeah.
You know? And rightfully so, he was obviously a great musician. Mm. But the rest of the guys, if it weren't for them and their combined songwriting, and obviously, I will touch on this a bit later as well, but this is just another thing where he was actually very, he had a very staunch stance on artistic freedom.
Yeah.
And I think in writing the music with the band, he was really wanting them to be involved in all the songwriting. Yes. It wasn't just him and then they just come in as session musicians.
Yes.
You know, he really wanted the Heartbreakers to feature just as much as him, sometimes I think even more than him as a frontman.
That's awesome. It's also, you know, I think, you know, being humble is a big part of how successful someone can become, opposed to not being. And, you know, some people that aren't humble, that have immense talent but don't make it as far because of their ego, if you can put it that
definitely.
Way.
Definitely. Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I mean, he knew when to fight.
Yeah.
Because he, again, with the artistic freedom thing, he was, when a record label tried to push him in a direction that he didn't want to go, and I think it became from the beginning where they actually tried to push him to be Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I think he had a mental switch that went off there. Almost every album he had some kind of disagreement with his record label, and he took like hardcore stances against these record labels.
But I guess it's like when you're forced into doing something and you ultimately agree, but you know it wasn't necessarily the right thing.
Mm.
You know, like you said, you kind of make that pact never again. It's not going to happen again. You know, so maybe.
And he was really, he was hardcore regarding that. I'll get into that a little bit later as well. But yeah, I just actually want to play quickly because these songs are songs that I think most people that listen to radio and so on would actually maybe recognize some of these tracks. I don't want to play a song from each album. I'm just going to play Don't Do Me Like That, The Waiting, and Don't Come Around Here No More.
Don't do me like that. Well, I love you, baby. Don't do me like that.
Firstly, we listened to Don't Do Me Like That. It was from Damn the Torpedoes. From Hard Promises, we listened to The Waiting. And from Southern Accents, we listened to Don't Come Around Here No More. He was good friends with George Harrison from the Beatles. And George Harrison actually asked him if he didn't want to join him in another group called the Traveling Wilburys. Now, the Traveling Wilburys was like a mega super group. It was George Harrison, Roy Orbison, Jeff Lynne, and Bob Dylan, and obviously then Tom Petty.
Yes.
So it was like five of the best vocalists in the world. Obviously, Jeff Lynne was from Electric Light Orchestra, Bob Dylan, Roy Orbison, and then George Harrison from the Beatles. And they released a few albums together as well, two albums. But I just think for a guy like Tom Petty to and I mean even Jeff Lynne as well, because he was, Electric Light Orchestra was about the same time as where the Heartbreakers started becoming popular. Electric Light Orchestra also became popular. But Roy Orbison was from the 50s through the 60s all the way, he was popular. Same with Bob Dylan, same with George Harrison. They came from a lot earlier time, and they remained popular, and their names as individuals were again very popular. Massive. People knew them very well. And I think for a guy like Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne as well to join these guys,
it's an honor.
It must be an honor. Even if you already had platinum selling albums,
it's like taking the stage with your hero.
I think that someone you admired crazy.
Since you were little, then joining him on stage,
Must have been crazy for you, man. But they released Traveling Wilburys Volume 1. But the cool thing about the Traveling Wilburys, they actually changed their names to as if they were like brothers in this Traveling Wilburys band. Tom Petty was Charlie T. Wilbury Jr. Bob Dylan was Lucky Wilbury. Roy Orbison, Lefty Wilbury. Jeff Lynne was Otis Wilbury.
Otis.
And George Harrison was Nelson Wilbury. And again, on the Volume 3, they actually changed their names again. Spike Wilbury, George Harrison, and Jeff Lynne was Clayton Wilbury. Tom Petty was Muddy Wilbury, and Bob Dylan was Boo Wilbury. And sadly, in between Volume 1 and Volume 3, Roy Orbison passed away.
Yeah.
So he wasn't obviously not part of the Volume 3 recordings.
Yeah.
And the reason why they didn't do Volume 2, I think, was part of the in between that time Orbison passed away. Yeah. So I think they were probably maybe
would have been disrespectful maybe.
Yeah. Busy writing songs with him, and then obviously passed. So and then also what I've heard is they were actually with the live shows, because it was very popular, all of these artists on stage, people wanted to go and watch these guys perform. So they actually a lot of people took tape recorders and stuff to the concerts, and they released like bootleg recordings and stuff where
black market
where the Traveling Wilburys did cover songs and so on of other artists, and the people would record that, and they would start releasing those things as bootlegs. Even today you still get bootleg albums, all of their styles mashed sort of into one style. But every time I listen to the Traveling Wilburys, I can't help to feel that majority songwriting style is Tom Petty.
Is it?
And you'll hear it now. Yeah. It's really Tom Petty's style of writing. They went with this southern, hearty rock thing that I spoke about earlier. You know, the real traditional American sound. They went with that for the recording of Traveling Wilburys. And that's what Tom Petty did. So I think a lot of he actually had a lot of influence on the songwriting as well, which is very cool.
That is awesome.
I just quickly want to play two songs, one from Volume 1 and one from Volume 3. The songs are called End of the Line, which was on Volume 1, and Inside Out was on Volume 3.
Well, it's all as long as you lend a hand.
wondering, waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all.
Look out your window, the grass ain't green, it's kinda yellow, see what I mean? Look up your chimney, the sky ain't blue, it's kinda yellow, you know it's true.
Really like that song, man. That last one, super yeah. Cool. Really enjoyed
it. Very cool. You can listen to most of Traveling Wilburys songs. Everything is really well written. I mean, you have five of the best songwriters in the world collaborating, so you're going to get good music out.
I'm going to download it as we speak.
Yeah. Legally yeah. Download.
iTunes.
So in the Traveling Wilburys formed in 1988. In 1989, Tom Petty released his first solo album, Full Moon Fever. I was thinking about what must have gone through his mind doing a solo thing, because he was really fighting this thing to go solo. He didn't want to, and then all of a sudden he's a solo artist. And I just wonder what went through his mind at that time and so on. And it's not like the Heartbreakers really broke up, because they reformed again, and then he did some solo stuff again, they reformed again, so I don't think there was hard feelings between them. I just wonder what was the reasoning behind that, releasing the solo album, even though he wasn't really fond of doing that. It's really a great album, but you can hear still a lot of the Heartbreakers influence in it. And I know that some of the Heartbreakers actually played on these solo albums as well. And yeah, I'm gonna play two of the songs. Most people, I think, will recognize these two songs. It's probably, in my opinion, probably his most
famous
songs. Yeah.
Most well known.
She's a good girl. Loves her mama, loves Jesus, in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day, living in Reseda, there's a freeway running through the yard. And I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart. Thank you.
Free Fallen. I've heard a few covers. The Almost did a cover, which was quite good. And I know a lot of people like John Mayer's cover. But man.
No, it's the best.
It's the best. There's you can, I think anybody can cover that song. Mm. There's just something in his voice that I just, that will work with this song forever with Tom Petty. I'll enjoy some of the covers, but this one is just next level.
And the reference to Elvis is also, it's also cool. But you know what stood out to me about Won't Back Down is that he almost, it's almost like he went modern punk rock in his solo stuff, even Free Falling. You know, it's almost going into like punk rock, and then Won't Back Down, it could have been a punk rock band.
On it, well, like, I think, and I mean, yeah, punk was actually doing quite well in that time. I think there's definitely maybe influence from that. Yeah,
but I really enjoyed both songs. Well, obviously Free Falling is
legendary, you know, song, just but legendary. But I Won't Back Down, also a great song. But that whole album is good. A lot of his most famous songs is from that album. Really good. I just want to track back a little bit to what I was speaking about earlier, because in this time period as well, and I think that sort of came with the reasoning why he did the solo thing. Like I said, he was for artistic freedom, but also for artistic control. If you are the songwriter and it's your music, no one can really take claim on that. That's what he felt. Even if you're at a record label. And he, in his lifetime, he made a lot of crazy mistakes with record labels, because he sold 1979 in the start when they released those few platinum albums. He sold his entire catalog to MCA Records for like $10,000. So he made crazy
decisions,
and then also he wanted to get out out from MCA Records at a time as well, and he declared bankruptcy so that he can move to another label. Do you know? And stuff like that.
Well, that's real punk rock of it.
Yeah, and there was a time as well where they wanted to sell, because he was very popular. They wanted to sell his album for a dollar more than the other artists.
And he, the going rate.
Yeah, and he said he's going to change the album title to the price that he wants to sell it to.
Really?
So they wanted $9.98, and he wanted all the other albums were selling for $8.98. So he wanted to call the album $8.98, and then they put it there for $9. So he said he's gonna be the album's name until they change it. So they changed it back to $8.98.
Awesome,
so yeah, he was really
a character.
Yeah, he was difficult with the record labels and stuff, and I think a lot of people will
enjoy
that.
Maybe he was a little
that.
Petty.
Yeah. No pun intended. But yeah, anyway, in 1991, the Heartbreakers reformed again, and they released Into the Great Wide Open, sticking with the sound that they had with most of the Heartbreakers albums thus far. And then he actually signed to Warner Brothers Records and released his second solo album, Wildflowers, in 1994. I actually just quickly want to play You Don't Know How It Feels from the Wildflowers album, so you could just hear the progression in his style. And then we're going to chat again, because the Heartbreakers reformed again.
Yeah!
You don't know how it feels.
You could actually hear the drum sound in this song is 90s. It just has that 90s feel, yeah. Drum sound. Cool song as well. But yeah, then the Heartbreakers reformed again. They released two albums. One was the soundtrack for She's the One, the film. And then Echo. They released the album Echo. Mm. Now, Echo was probably Tom Petty's darkest album. And he didn't really like performing the songs on that album live as well. Yeah. He went through a divorce of 22 years. Mm. Marriage,
yeah.
With his wife, and he turned to heroin for the pain by that time, and he had a lot of stuff again with the labels, yeah. And everything, so he I think this was the darkest period of his life, and he so he said as well in some interviews that people liked the album because, yeah. A lot of people could
relate
to what, yeah. He was singing on that album, especially in the 90s, obviously, but he didn't want to perform. It just brought back too much sad memories for him. But I'm gonna actually play Room at the Top from that album, but I just quickly want to touch on his 2002 release as well, which was called The Last DJ. The album is sort of, the whole album is like a critique against the radio stations and stuff,
yeah.
Stuff that is practiced in the whole music industry. Obviously he had a long running issue with the music industry and with, yeah. Record labels and so on, but he also had an issue with the fact that DJs couldn't play songs that they wanted to play on the radio stations anymore, yeah. That the radio station was giving them,
yeah.
Because there was a time,
yeah.
Where they could, where, yeah. The radio DJs could play what they wanted to play, but then after in 2002 or around that time it changed and the radio stations gave them probably, yeah. Gave them a set list that they have to play. And then in 2005, Tom Petty hosted his own show, Buried Treasures, on satellite radio. He shared selections from his personal record collection. Mm. He played some songs from his collection. But yeah, I just quickly want to play Room at the Top, that was on his Echo album, and The Last DJ, the track from The Last DJ that released in 2002.
Cool.
I got a room at the top of the world tonight. I can see everything tonight. I got a room where everyone can have a drink and forget those things that went wrong. I got a room at the top of the world tonight. I got a room at the top of the world tonight. I got a room at the top of the world tonight, and I ain't coming.
What he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey.
this was with the band, the Heartbreakers again? Or?
Yes, it was with the Heartbreakers, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, it's good to it's good to have the guys back.
Yeah. No, and that's why I said I don't think they were ever broke up or had any issues. I think it's just probably label pressure.
Yes.
I think that a lot of the work in that sense to do solo albums, then Heartbreaker albums again. John, 2007, Tom Petty actually reformed Mudcrutch.
Mudcrutch, back in the game.
Yeah, so and they released their first album in 40 years in 2008. Yeah. He released a few albums in the 2000s as well. And then in 2014, he released Hypnotic Eye. By that time, they didn't know, but it was then the final album by Tom Petty because he passed away in 2017. Yeah. But Hypnotic Eye was his first Billboard number one album.
Nice. Then last.
Yeah, so it's crazy that his last album actually peaked. Made Billboard number one.
Sure. It's incredible.
Yeah, so.
Such a cool story, actually.
Yeah, it's sort of fighting the system the whole time and then finally getting to the top. So, yeah, that's Tom Petty. Awesome. Very cool. Awesome. I just want to.
I'm a fan now.
Yeah, you must. You can. And guys, go listen to. I obviously just played a few songs and just pieces of those songs. Yeah. There's guitar solos still to come in most of those songs, and it's most of his songs is really, it's easy listening, but it's not boring. Yeah. It's good songs. I just want to end off this episode with playing the song American Dream Plan B, which was from the Hypnotic Eye album.
Okay, cool guys. So that's it for tonight's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and remember to go and check us out on all our social media platforms. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And please leave us a comment. Please leave us any suggestions that you might have, and we'll be sure to consider every comment. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll catch you guys next week for another episode.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers. Tell me everything.